the importance of being spirit-filled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise." Isn't that something? Isn't that something that there's a commandment in the Bible that you would not, should be, not be unwise? Be not unwise, but understanding. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many times have you heard somebody say, "I wish I knew what the will of God was for my life"? Man, I couldn't tell many times I've said it as a young Christian. I wish I knew what the will of God was for my life. Well, I'll tell you this. It's that you wouldn't be unwise. Wouldn't be unwise. He said, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." In the submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Father, I pray you'd help me. Lord, you know what I need. I need your touch. Lord, I need your presence, your power. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I thank you for being in church tonight. I've been looking forward all day to being here tonight, seeing my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God, not just that, but Lord, being able to gather together to sing songs about you and lift you up. And Lord, to be able to hopefully be able to say something from your word to help our brothers and sisters here tonight. Do that, I pray, for your glory. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. The importance of being spirit-filled. Now, I don't think that you'd have to be real wise to think that if you're not spirit-filled, you'd know what you would be. You'd be just the opposite of spirit-filled. You'd be walking in the flesh. Everybody understand that? And so as we look at this tonight, I want you to notice that Paul goes a little further than talking about just talking. Are you listening? He goes a little further than just talking about being spirit-filled, but he even puts this out here as a Christian. I meet so many Christians that whenever you start talking about being filled with the Spirit, you mention something like this, and they go, "Uh-oh, what's that? What? You ain't Baptist no more, are you?" Well, if you look down at these verses, number from 17 to 21 we just read right here, it doesn't give a denomination, but it does let us know that this book is a Pauline epistle, and Paul, being an apostle to the Gentiles, is writing to the church of Ephesus the necessity of being filled with the Spirit. Anybody ever done something and you thought, "Man, if I'd have been filled with the Spirit, I wouldn't have said that. If I'd have been walking with the Lord, I wouldn't have said that." So you know there is a great importance of being filled with the Spirit, having a Spirit-filled life. Paul goes a little further, and he even mentions this in verse 17. He said, "But understanding what the will of the Lord is." He wants it to go further than that. He wants you to be able to see that there's something that you need that oftentimes is overlooked as a child of God. And the problem is, if you're not spirit-filled, your flesh is going to be in control ultimately. Anybody believe that? Your flesh, you say, "But my flesh ain't all that bad." Well, let me give you a little clue right here. I read this, Brother Kevin, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now that doesn't mean you're a mass murderer. Doesn't mean you're a bank robber. Doesn't mean you dislike the church. It doesn't mean that you talk bad about the preacher. It doesn't mean that you talk ugly to your wife or you talk ugly to your husband. It just means that there just ain't nothing good in there spiritually. We're talking about spirit-filled. And so as we look at that, we think, let's see what's really happening then in this flesh, in this flesh. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. There's things that God expects out of us. I believe this. If we neglect the seriousness of this warfare, we will be in trouble. Jared kids about this now, Brother Gary. He kids about this. I heard him preaching one day. He says, you know, he said, when we was all little, and I've mentioned it here, he said, when we were all little, he says, every time we'd walk outside, he said, Dad would be saying, watch out for snakes. Watch out for snakes when you go out there. Now the grandkids are at the house, and the grandkids go outside, and I'm saying, watch out for snakes. Watch out for snakes. Watch out for snakes. Watch out for that stuff like that. And now Jared kids is going outside, and Jared's saying, y'all watch out for snakes now. Well, there's a reason why I said that. The first year, but Kevin, the first year that we moved here and we live where we live at, the first year we were there, we killed about, I think it was 13 poisonous snakes. The first year. That's a little over one a month. Okay? I mean, right from rattlesnake to moccasins to coral snake. Brother Gary, we moved in on top of them. Now, I never did when the kids walked outside. Kristen's here, Ashlyn's here, they'll testify. I never did say, y'all look out for a bear. Huh? Did I? Y'all look out for a wildcat. I might have mentioned a coyote once in a while, but I'm talking about, I was telling them to watch out for things that I had seen. I literally walked past one in my backyard one day. Ashlyn wasn't no more bigger than that. Small enough I could pick her up by one arm and run with her. And we walked past one and I said, she's bouncing around like Jep. It's okay. You smile for me. Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I said, baby, settle down. You don't get on a rattlesnake out here. It was wooded behind my house, Brother Richard. It was wood. And sure enough, I just happened to turn and look behind me, and there's a big old timber rattler coiled up right behind me back over here. And I grabbed a hold of her and picked her up so she wouldn't run across it. I cut a tree down. I mean, I moved in on top of them. That's why I was saying, watch out, Brother Tracy. Watch out. I've seen them. They're here. I know it. I cut a tree down one day, and I was walking along that tree, and I'm cutting limbs off of it, Brother Leo, and I look down, and a rattlesnake crawling between my legs. Has anybody ever seen that movie, Shakiest Gun in the West? When I got back to the house, and I was able to beat on the side of the house, and my wife comes, I said, bring me a gun. Can you believe, know that woman, knowing that I'm a nervous wreck, my nerves just tore out of my brain, and she brought me a pistol? I stand my ground. Can y'all believe she brought me a pistol? Can you really believe this? I hit the snake. You better know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has something to do with that. That wasn't nothing with my marksmanship, okay? The Holy Ghost directed that bullet. I probably shot over this way and he just curved it back. So with that, knowing what was there, I was continually saying, watch out. Beware. Be cautious. Keep your eyes open. I said it a while ago, if we neglect the seriousness of this warfare, we're in trouble. You think you can outwit the devil? You're in trouble. You think you can get around his conniving, you in trouble. You think you can get past what he's got laid out there for you tomorrow. I'm telling you, you better wake up in the morning and run to your Bible and get on your knees and pray and read and cry and ask God to help you. Psalm chapter number 5, I was reading this morning. Psalm chapter number 5, David's a praying, and David said, please, God, hear me. He says, matter of fact, I wish you'd even listen to my meditation. I'm meditating. I'm meditating on you, Lord. Hear my meditation. Say, what is that? What is that? How many of y'all remember Sunday? Sunday, the message I preached Sunday, whenever the Lord healed that man, and the Bible says here, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? And they said, who is this that thinks he's got power to heal sin? And the Lord perceived. You know what he's doing? He's listening to their meditations. And he listens to yours. That's why you ought to be bragging on the church and praying for the church and asking God to help. Listen, not just because we got a meeting coming up, but a year ago before we had a meeting, 6 months ago before we had a meeting, we could have been praying for our church, not getting on the telephone saying, can you believe? Can you believe they tore the things down? I messed up the other night. Let me clarify something. Sometimes I say some things and I'm joking. Just joking. Brother Ron, do you ever joke? Well, sure. Brother Justin, do you ever joke? Sure, we joke. Brother Gary? I'm just kidding sometimes. I said something about painting the walls peach colored. I was joking. Just joking. Fret not, little sheep. Little flock. And if it does, I mean, it's really, think about it. Sometimes you just got to think about, wow, what would it look like? What would it look like if it was peach colored in here? Well, if you'd walk back in that fellowship hall over there just a year, two, three ago. I thought it looked good. I really like peaches. I love peach preserves with peanut butter. Huh? Not really good for a diabetic, but I love them anyway. I'm just saying, if you're not careful, but Donnell, I can say something like that just kidding. And you know me, and you know I'm kidding, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you know that if I'm just kidding, that preacher ain't really going to do that. He wouldn't have done that, wouldn't have said that if he was going to do that. And if you're not careful, he could take what I said and run to the wrong places with it. And the devil come by and say, oh, I see somebody in a week time. I think I'll check them out. A little arm wrestling for them. See how well they can handle it. I'm telling you, friend, he'll put you down. There ain't none of us no match for him. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. I know you're strong. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Please. I'm just saying, if we neglect this type of a warfare, we're going to be in trouble. I want you to notice something. Number one, weakness, the weakness of a fleshly body. The weakness of a fleshly body. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 40, the Bible says this. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth him asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm talking about the weakness of this fleshly body. You know, a lot of people, everybody's got their own praying times. Reading times. Everybody's different. Some people get up early in the morning and read and spend time with the Lord. Some people want to do it the last thing at night. If I try to pray when I've laid my head down, the best I'm going to do probably is say, "Dear Lord." I'm out. My reading at night, I'll be maybe a verse or two. I'm done. I just can't do it. The flesh is weak, Brother Larry. The flesh, when I get tired, I'm done. He said right here, he said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Lord, if this is what you want, okay, your will be done. That's what I want. Then he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples, and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." I mean, he did all he could to get them to wake up. Get up, exercise, throw some cold water in your face, do some jump jacks, whatever, just get running place. They were so tired. They were so weak. You know what me and you don't know about this text right here? We don't know what them disciples had been doing all day. They might have been working, Brother Dustin. They might have been walking. There go telling how many miles they may have walked just trying to keep up with Jesus. Do you see somebody tired? That ain't no time to cast a stone at them. I mean, it might be time to just have a word of prayer and say, "Lord, they've labored. Obviously, they're wore out. They're tired. They're exhausted. Would you give them some extra strength?" Boy, wouldn't that go a lot further than saying, "Hey, guess who I saw? I saw Brother John over there sitting down on the job. Everybody was working except him." No. How about some just, "Lord, please." We see the weakness. We see the weakness. This flesh has got one thing it wants to do and one thing alone. Romans chapter number 7 and verse number 19. The Bible says this. Romans chapter 7 verse number 19. It says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but that the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Sin that dwelleth in me. "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Oh my goodness. Listen. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul's crying out for help. There's three things that this flesh, this weak flesh, really wants to do. Three things: eat, sleep, and have fun. And might I say this? Hear me, because I don't want you leaving me thinking, the preacher thinks we're quit eating. No, I love to eat, Brother Tracy. I mean, wow. What a blessing. Have you ever just thought about what a blessing it is to be able to taste food? The different foods, I mean, like chocolate cake. Huh? Java chip, frappuccino, extra shot of caffeine. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, son. I knew one day that would be shouting up here. I'm glad for it. I'm just so to be able to taste, eat. It's okay. We got to sleep. And guess what I like to do? I like to have fun. I told a lady, I was inviting a lady to church today. at Wendy's, and I took my wife out to eat today, went to Wendy's, and I like to spend a lot of money on her just so she'll know that I always love her. And she said, what you going to get? I said, baby, you can get anything you want to off that 4 for $4 or the $5 baggie. Whichever you want, go ahead and get it. Go ahead and get it. So she got the $5 baggie, wouldn't you know it? Can I say this? Hey, I like to have fun. I was inviting that lady to church and talking to her about the Lord. And finally, she's just engrossed, Brother Gary. I'm telling her about the meeting coming up, and I wasn't giving her time to say nothing. I was going 90 miles an hour. I wasn't asking. I said, you from around here? I know you are. You got to come to our church on Douglas Drive. You know where Douglas Drive is? She said, yes, sir. I just went on. And finally, she goes, oh my God, I got to get back to work. I said, I know you're getting paid. Get on back there. But you know what? She's seen the excitement in me. And she said she's going to come. So I'm going to wait to see her come in. You say you think she's coming? She said she would. She said she's going to come. Don't try to destroy my hope. My excitement, my zeal. Don't try to bury me before it's time for the grave. Amen. Thank God. Thank God if they tell me to come. I met a man at Lowe's yesterday. I'm telling you, I woke up that fella and we trying to get this vinyl guttering straightened out over there. I says, you know anything about this stuff? He come over and he helped us just what we needed to do. And he says, he got a little accent on him. I said, Hutton, you from here? And he didn't really look like I'm just having a conversation with you. And he says, no, sir. He said, I'm from Miami. I said, Miami? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm thinking accent. I said, Puerto Rico? He said, no. I said, Cuba. He said, oh, yeah. I said, you know where Camagüey is? He said, that's where my mom and dad's from. And we went to talk, and he said, how do you know about that? And I told him, I said, I pastor a church and this and that and everything. Him and his wife lives and kids live here. His brother and their family lives here. His mom and dad and Nell lives over here. I said, we could use you. I said, you saved? He says, I'm Catholic. That means when I say you saved, and if you don't tell me yes, you are saying what? No. I said, we need you. You could have a ministry in our church. I'm telling you, we have to lead him to the Lord first. You know, you've got to be saved. You've got to be saved, have a ministry in the church. But you know what? Seeing him today across the parking lot, me and Brother Lewis, I said, hey, Will! Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? I don't need 2 or 3 witnesses, okay? You know what he did? He threw his hand up and waved. Yeah. Amen. And you can sit there and act like you did all night long if you want to. I'm enjoying my salvation, and I don't intend to let my flesh win. Amen. But I sure would appreciate you praying for me that it don't. Okay? Let's look right here. I want you to notice, but not only is there the weakness of this fleshly body, but there's the weakness of our fleshly mind. Turn back over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 6. The Bible says this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hey, all right, confession time. Who's ready? One. We stuck on one. Two. Thank you. How many has ever said this about your own self now? Well, I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you right now. I got in the flesh. Y'all want me to not look up so y'all can. You know what? We all have. The Bible said if you in the flesh, you ain't walking in the Spirit. If you in the flesh, you are not filled with the Spirit. Well, there's a difference between the two right there. Back over here in Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." I think Paul's giving us some good warnings about here about not being spirit-filled, ain't he? I mean, some real good stuff right here. You know what? What is it causes Christians? Hey, you know what? I'd say the majority of us here, I would like to think 100%, but if not, really close to it, the majority of us here tonight are saved. We're saved. I hope you're saved. And if you're not, I hope you get saved real soon, tonight. Don't put it off. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But I know this one thing, that there's a battle that's going on right now in my life between here and here. And I wish I could say, Brother Gary, I wish I could say this. I wish every time it wins right here. What is it then that makes us think things we shouldn't think? What is it then that makes thoughts come into our mind that we know are not Christian, that we know that God didn't put there? We all face that. Every one of us. Every one of us. Well, let me ask you one a little bit farther than that. What made Thomas think like he thought? That's a man that would walk with God, one of his disciples. And God had told him stuff that was going to happen. And then whenever he shows up and Thomas ain't there and the disciples tell him he showed up, they said, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I ain't going to believe it. I'm just telling you right now, boys, I don't believe y'all. I don't believe one thing you say unless I can put my hand in the prints, my finger in the print of his hands or in the scar in his side." Can I tell you this? I'm glad that I don't have to see something because, number one, I read it. Number one, I heard the preaching about it. Number three, I accepted him. And now by faith, I'm believing what the Word says will come to pass. I'm telling you, there's a fight. There's a battle. There's a battle. This is a fleshly. This is a weak, weakness of this fleshly body. And then we have a weakness of a fleshly mind. But I want you to notice this. There's a weakness of a fleshly will. A weakness of a fleshly will. Who knows what a will is? And I don't mean the man that I spoke with it at Lowe's. You know what? I'm going to give you a great example of what your will was today. Your will was to come to church tonight. You came. You wanted to come. You're here. And you exercised that will. And you came to church. Thank God. I'm glad you did. I can't think of no better place to be. Did you know that every sin is a sin of choice. All those hidden sins that you do, that I do, that we do, however you want me to say it, every one of them is one that you wanted to. And I know, I've said it 1,000 times, I wish I wouldn't do that. Well, trying to justify myself before the Lord, trying to make Him think that I ain't all that guilty. But I decided to. If I did it, I decided to do it. That was my will. Let's look right here. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, as your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Thank God. Thank God. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, you know, John just let us know, I know you got sin in your life. Everybody gonna have sin in life. As long as you live in this flesh, it's weak and it's going to battle. As long as you've got this mind, it's weak and it's going to battle. As long as you have to make choices and see what the real will of God is for your life, it's weak. If we have a weak will. The body, write this down if you're writing. The body desires. The mind decides. And the will yields. You know, I meet people all the time and I'm so thankful. I'm glad y'all here tonight. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to come back. You should come back. I meet people all the time and I invite them to church and everybody does this different. Okay, don't do it like I do it. You do it like you do it. You might not get away with what I do. I might not get away with what you do. How many times have you invited people to church and they say, well, I don't think I've got nothing going on Sunday. I might be there. And I'm to the point where I'm going to say, no. No, don't give me that mic business. You just said you ain't got nothing to do. Come on down. Obligate yourself. You say you can't do people. I said, don't do like I do. You do like you do. I just know this. I just know that I made excuses that I look back now and they sound so dumb way back then. When people would invite me to church and I'd say, you know, I'd like to come some. That's a lie to start with. If I'd like to come, what would I do? I'd be there, wouldn't I? I'm just saying, we have a fleshly will. Our will reaches out for everything except, I said this the other day, I love them Baby Ruths, them Milky Ways, them Snickers, Hershey's with almonds. Three taps for an amen. So, pre-metformin, that's exactly right. Payday candy bars, I love peanuts. Oh, man, I love to eat. And I love sweets. And if I get to wanting it bad enough, I get up and get it. And if I ain't got it, it means I'm out. And I need to replenish the shelves. That's what the will does. The will will do. It'll decide. I'm telling you. Wouldn't it be good if we could use all of that in serving the Lord? In keeping ourselves clean. In staying pure. In living righteously. Not even thinking about talking about my brothers or sisters. Not even thinking about it. Every morning, I'll leave you with this. Every morning when we do the devotion, I pray. We pray. And I pray for preachers. Every morning, Bud Gary. I pray for pastors. And I pray for evangelists, missionaries, street preachers, jailhouse preachers, and nursing home preachers. I think that covers about all the preachers. Just by saying preachers, that covers them all. And I know there's a lot of people say, well, Brother Edward, he's praying. Is he praying for Joel Osteen? I'm not sure that Joel Osteen's a preacher. But if he is, I am praying for him. Because you see, we want to get everybody straightened out to be like what we want them to be. But it might have been that one day, way back, whether it was a John Hagee or any of those men from way back, it might have been one day they were so sold out to God that, I mean, all they wanted to do was be right in the middle of the will of God. And something happened. I don't know. Maybe somebody in town, maybe this is a small town like St. Mary's, and somebody came to him, Brother Andrew, and said, hey, we got a spot on the radio. You want a place on the radio just to preach on the radio? I mean, I'm sure it happened to a bunch of them. And it went from radio to TV. I don't know. I invited that woman to church today. I said, you need to come on down. I said, we promise this. We'll tell you the truth. This ain't no TV ministry right here. That's what I told her. I said, this ain't a TV ministry. I said, we'll tell you the truth. And she just stood there looking at me like, wow. But I want you to know this. If there's something wrong with all the preachers that we're praying for, guess who knows how to straighten them out? Yep. Including myself. If there's something wrong, if they ain't doing it just right, if they're not saying it just right, if they ain't got the right Bible, if they ain't got the right doctrine, wouldn't it be just real good if we prayed for them and let God and ask God to take care of it? I'd say I think it'd be wonderful. It's the filling of the Spirit that enables us to do all that the Spirit of God demands us to do. I thought it was kind of unusual in that text. Nobody but the Lord could do what He did in Ephesians chapter 5. Right in the middle of that text, I wouldn't have done it. You wouldn't have done it. Right in the middle of that text where He's talking about walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. You know what He said? Right in the middle of that, Brother Gary, He said, and be not drunk with wine, for success, be filled with the Spirit. I wouldn't have thrown that in there. But He's given such a similarity to if you've ever been around a drunk. Don't act like them. Act like Him. And let's walk in the Spirit, and we'll do for God what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You for this time. I pray that You'll bless what's been said. God, help us, I pray, O Lord, to walk in the light as You're in the light. And Lord, we'll have fellowship one with another. Help us be kind one to another. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. God, help us that we'll not have the weakness of the flesh or the weakness of the mind or the weakness of this will. God, that we can walk with You in unity and God, just serve You. Father, we'll thank You for what You do. Bless each one that's turned out tonight. Help us as we go our separate ways. And God will give You glory for all You do. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.